Welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Welcome back, everybody, to Tips from the Server Room. I am your host, Jack, and tonight we're going to be talking about Windows Server 2012 R2, and this is a preview release, and I actually downloaded this from TechNet because I am a TechNet subscriber, which I'm sure if you are, you already know that it's going away. Unfortunately, that's something that they're going to be getting rid of, and, you know, we can't control that. Microsoft's going to do what Microsoft does, and, you know, so be that. Anyway, before we get started here, let me just say I want to thank you for coming to the podcast and subscribing to the shows. Hopefully they're helping you out to teach you more about Windows Server. And I don't just want this to be a Windows Server show by any means. We're also going to be talking about stuff in your server racks. We're going to be talking about networking, Cisco gear, some because we use a lot of Cisco gear where I work. And I'm probably most familiar with Cisco. But we're going to talk about all that kind of jazz stuff, too. And hopefully I can help you out there with, you know, the ins and outs of your technology needs for your server room. But the name, you know, doesn't say Windows Server. It just says Tips from the Server Room. And once again, like I said, I'm glad that you are stopping in here. And hopefully the show's doing you some good. So tonight we're going to get started here. We're going to talk about, as I said, and I'm sure the title already told you or gave it away, Windows Server 2012 R2, and this is a preview release. Now, a lot of people says, well, you know, what's a preview release? Is it a beta release? Is it an alpha release? And it's pretty, from what I've seen so far, I just installed it last night on the virtual machine, and it's pretty polished, but we're going to look at it here, and you're going to see some... For lack of better terminology, some very home-based user-type features that probably shouldn't be on the server, but we're going to look at it anyway. I think we deserve to take a peek at that. So let's go ahead, and we're going to get started on this right now. So I'm going to switch the camera over here and actually bring you into my desktop so I can show you some of these features. So if you are listening to this podcast, and I'm glad you do, hopefully I know I listen to a lot of podcasts myself. I mean, I've been a podcaster for years, so I mean, I do listen to a lot of them in the car. It drives my wife absolutely crazy because she has to listen to, you know, people in the car, and she's like, oh, this is kind of silly, you know, but... it's very nice that you're bringing me into your car and maybe driving along or listening to me on the bus or whatever with some earbuds. But if you have a chance, by all means, go to YouTube and go to my YouTube channel. And the YouTube channel is 42 Technoman. And if you figure that out, I started when I was 42 years old on there on YouTube producing videos. And then Technoman is my Twitter handle, and I just kind of rolled that all together. Never thinking I would start at something called Jack's Tech Corner, which is a whole nother story. So by all means, go there and check out this video because you're going to see the interface, what I'm talking about. I'm going to try to describe it the best I can for you on the audio podcast, and hopefully it's going to help you out, and we'll be able to work through this stuff. So let's go ahead, and we are going to get started here. And like I said earlier, the Justin TV chat room, we'll take a peek at it here now just to see if it is logging in. And it's not, and I don't know why that is. I don't know if you guys are having any trouble with that or not. I see we got quite a few viewers tonight, and I do apologize. We will try to fix up some kind of chat room that we can actually utilize, and hopefully that'll work out. So let's go ahead. We're going to switch over the cameras right now so we can get started with this. And we'll bring you into here, and I think I'll get rid of this overlay. There we go. Then we can get the whole experience of the actual desktop here for Windows Server 2012. And as I said, this is Windows Server 2012 R2 preview release. Now, I don't imagine you're already using Windows Server 2012 in your production environment. I wouldn't imagine you'd be doing that. And we are not either. We've experimented with it. We set it up, and we kind of get to look and feel for it. And I actually set a class up, too. I run online And we'll talk about that at the end of the show. But the look and feel's there, and it's like I said, this preview release is polished, but we're going to take a look at this and look around a little bit, and I'll describe it to you for the podcasters out there. The first thing, like always, I'm going to tell you there's two installs when you can install this, just like there is on any Windows servers. And this is the data center that I downloaded because that's all it was available on TechNet. I don't know why that is. I don't know if that's the first one they're ever going to bring out the rest of them. I don't know. But I do know that all the roles and features are in there because I've checked. And you can turn on, turn off all the normal stuff that you normally would on a server. But the first time I installed this, I did what's called a core install. Now, if you've never done a core install, what the core install is, everything looks normal until you log in. So you log in as the administrator, and the only thing that came out was basically a command prompt. And at that command prompt is where you actually type in all your stuff, you know, and do your DHCP setup, your DNS, your Active Directory setup. And I talked to a few other systems admins out there, and what they told me was, what we got from it was, you're better off to set up the server tools and set those tools up on another workstation and control that server. But the core allows you to run a very, very lightweight server with very low overhead. And that's so critical nowadays because you have so much going on that server, on that back end, you don't want all that overhead sitting there. And that's exactly what Microsoft did with the GUI or with the GUI interface. So we're going to have a look at that now, and like I said, I'll describe this for you if you're listening to the audio podcast, so don't go away. The first thing it loads up here is the server manager, the dashboard, which loads up all the time, and that's exactly what we would expect to happen through this interface. But we are going to close that right now. We're not going to go into any of the tools tonight or anything. I'm just going to kind of walk you through the interface. We're going to close that, and you'll see here you get very much a desktop, just like you would expect to get anytime. But there's some differences that they did here with this release too. Microsoft, for whatever reason, you can see at the bottom, it says Windows Server 2012 R2 Data Center Preview. And this particular evaluation copy is build 9431. So if you're on TechNet, if you're a member of a TechNet, you can definitely download it and check it out. That's where I got it from. So it's very handy to have TechNet. Too bad it's going away, and I don't know what I got to buy. If anybody knows out there what I got to buy next, please drop me an email at jackstechcorner@gmail.com. Let me know. I'd love to hear from you. So, watch this. I'm going to go down here and click. As you can see, they brought back the little start button, just like they did in Windows 8. All right? I'm sorry. Yeah, in Windows 8, they brought back this start button. Check this out. So we click that, and we get the start screen. So the only option you have with this start screen to get rid of this screen, the option you would have to do is you would have to actually put one of the other start, such as like StarDock will work on here, or you know one of the other emulators that's going to change it to give you the regular start menu. So you get all your common tools in here that you would normally get, and you can add the panels and just like you would in basically Windows 8. So click back on this desktop. The next thing, if you go down here now, if you right-click on the Start button, this is something new they added, and they added it with the point 1. All right, so we got Windows 8, and now we got point 1. If you right-click on this, they now have all these features in here, programs and features, easier to find than using those crazy, gestures and all that stuff. And it's just ridiculous to use those. So you have programs and features, power options, event viewer, system, device manager, network connections, all the major stuff that you'd use to actually run a server. Task manager is very important. We'll go into that later down the road. Control panel. File Explorer, Search, Run. Shutdown is nice because you can shut down and restart, or Desktop. Now, that kind of threw me off because why would there be a Desktop button on here if we're already on the desktop? That really threw me off, and I couldn't figure that out either. So, but if I click it, I'm back at the desktop. That's kind of strange. So if we go to the right, so if you move your mouse to the right, the lower panel, you're going to get this little pop-up. just like you would on Windows 8. The only thing they added now, if you notice when I brought this up, the clock came up on this lower left-hand side. And I think they did that because you're covering up the clock down here on the bottom. So again, put it up here, the clock pops up. So is that handy? I don't know. Is that needed? I don't know. Again, that's one of the gestures, or they call these the charms, charm bars, or whatever they want to call it. The search feature, if you click search, it's going to open up. And you can search everywhere. You can search settings, or you can search files. And everywhere, I believe, let's just type in there dogs. I don't really know, but we're going to type dogs in the search. And nothing found, because there's nothing found on the actual server. Okay. So we are going to close this out. And come back over here. Click that. We click the lower left-hand side. Brought back up the little start menu, the little button like it was in Windows 8 originally before 8.1 is getting released. And click on desktop, and we're back at the desktop. If we go back to this lower left-hand side, folks, the lower right-hand side. And bring this back up. You have the start, and you have settings. If you go into settings, you have everything in here that you had in Windows 8. So if you're familiar with Windows 8, if you've been using it, Windows Server 2012 has basically the same feel to it. It has the same textures and everything that Windows 8 has. There is some differences because I went to last night. I thought, well, I was telling my workers this today. I said, you know what? Maybe we should put a nice picture on the desktop on our server. That would be strange. I don't know why we'd do that. But click on personalization. And if you see here, it says this page is not available in this edition of Windows. Because they don't want you, at least Microsoft got that right. They don't want you to add a bunch of overhead to your actual system. If you click this, you can change stuff like the contrast. You can make it contrasty. Like the old Windows, you guys might remember, the Windows 3.1. Some of this kind of looks like those type settings. And I don't know if they kept an old programmer around or something. We'll go back to basic. There we go. All right. Now, what I'm going to show you here next is, in this evaluation build, is we are going to go to our server manager. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to take a look at the add roles and features of this new server package. And if I click next. Okay, roles based on features, based installations. Click here. And that's fine. Click here. And what I wanted to show you here was, and what I'm going to do here maybe, I think would make it easier. I'm going to select a new region here live when we're doing this. And I'm going to drill this down so we can get a better look at this. And for the radio audience out there, for the actual podcast audience, we are highlighting more of the add roles and features wizard. And I wanted to go through these with you because even though this is a data center install, whenever we load these different softwares, these different servers up on your in your environment, even though you're buying a file server environment or a print server edition or whatever, everything is basically in there that you're going to need to run an active full server. All right. So you see here we have Active Directory Certificate Services, Active Directory Domain Services, Active Directory Federation Services, stuff you may never use. And if you click on this, the descriptions over here on the right, it'll let you know a little bit about those. We have Active Directory Lightweight Directory Services, Active Directory Rights and Management Services, Application Server, DHCP Server, a DNS Server, a Fax Server, which I don't know who would use that any longer, to be honest with you. And you'll see here, File and Storage Services, 1 of 12 is installed. So it comes set up to do File and Storage Services because it is the Data Center Edition. Hyper-V's in here, so you can actually create a hypervisor, and you can load virtual machines on top of that. We have Network Policies and Access Services, Print Services, we're going down here. Remote access, which is very important on any server. You should always have your remote access turned on. And we'll get into that later on in these shows. I'm sure we'll talk about remote access and how important it is and what tools we currently use to remote into our servers and how we access those, and remote desktop services, volume activation services, web services. So it has the IIS stuff built into it, so you can use it as a web server. Windows development services, Windows Server Essential Experiences, and Windows Server Update Services. Okay, so you have all of those that you can choose from. And what we're going to look at in probably the next show, I think we're going to work at setting some of this stuff up. And we're going to talk about Active Directory Domain Services, and then I'm going to walk you through some of the other stuff such as DHCP, DNS, and we're going to talk about this stuff and try to help you if you're having any issues with that to try to alleviate those problems. Most problems in a Windows Server environment comes from an improper setup DNS. Now, years ago, we used to use a service called WINS. And what WINS did, it was Windows, I believe it was Windows Identification Naming Service. What we had to do was make sure we had the computer names set properly, and the computers talked back and forth across your network based on that particular name, WINS. Today, we are doing it in a whole new way. Ever since Windows Server 2000 came out, and a lot of rookies out there, I'll call them, or greenhorns setting up a server, didn't understand that DNS was so vital. Because DNS will allow those computers to actually talk on your domain. Now, here's the trick, and I don't know how many domains you set up. I've done quite a few, if not many. Whenever you're setting these services up in DNS, and we'll look at this down the road, it's so critical, I just want you to hear it now. Whenever you're setting DNS services up, you don't have to make that your actual registered domain name. So many people make that mistake, and it's going to hurt you down the road. You want to use an internal domain name. We make these up, and they're not registered because they're not seen on the internet. So they don't have to be registered domain name. And you would make that domain name inside. A lot of guys make their something like mynetwork.local. Now, if you like typing all that all the time, that's fine. You can actually make your domain name My Network. We tend to make it, we use the dot at the end because it just makes it easier for our minds to work, such as mynetwork.org, mynetwork.com, whatever you want to make it, it's fine. Then that allows you to use your registered domain name if you want to open up IIS and if you want to load your web services up. So it makes it a lot easier. So again, if you set your DNS up properly, then all your computers now talk through DNS. And what makes it nice is WINS, we had to go in and we had to manually configure different parts of WINS. Today with DNS and with dynamic DNS, as you bring computers up on the internet, or I'm sorry, as you bring computers up on your server, what's going to happen is those actual computers will talk to that DNS and they will register themselves. They'll self-register. That makes it really nice for if anybody would come in your network and plug in, guess what? Their computer now is going to be registered on your DNS. And you'll be able to see that and you'll be able to spot that out there. So that is all the all the roles and features in the new server. There's actually add other servers to manage. So you can add other servers. Let's see if we can get this in the shot here. Yeah, it looks pretty good. Active Directory servers, computers, you can add those in here. We could do it by DNS, just what we were talking about. We can search a computer name or IP address. Because remember, DNS has a reverse lookup. So if we know it's IP, we'll find its computer name. If you know its computer name, it will figure out its IP. Or import. You can import a file and bring that stuff in also through a file. Or we can create a server group. All right. So that is the main parts. That's the quick start stuff. It's going to tell you what's new. Here's what's new in the new server. Add remote servers and create custom server groups. So they're building all that new. And I think that's easier way to let you build clusters. You know, we've talked about clusters for years, and I've never done it. Maybe you have. We've never actually tried to sit down and cluster computers together. And I'm sure if you're watching this or listening to this, you already understand this. When we cluster servers together, we're getting the maximum amount of power out of all those servers put together to serve that up to our clients. Get current status of your servers and roles. So there's always been ways to get statuses. I don't know how that's something new in Server Manager, but I guess they put it in there. Perform tasks on multiple servers at one time. Now, I don't know if that's if you virtualize them or not. I'm going to have to dig a little deeper and learn a little bit more with that. And deploy roles and features remotely. Again, we basically work, you know, in our server farm, at the location so we can deploy all our roles and everything there. I don't know why you'd ever have to be remote somewhere. Maybe if you have remote offices and you're working in an environment. I used to do this. I managed 6 locations out of 1 main hub. And I guess I could have used that feature to remote in and do things, but I like better to drive there and see the folks and say hello. You know what I mean? Remove unused server role and feature files to save disk space. These are solutions. Find applications for Windows Server. And learn how you can benefit by providing feedback to Windows Server. So there's just ways you can learn more about your Windows services. Okay, so hopefully today in this little short tutorial, this little introduction to Windows 2012 R2 Preview Edition, I gave you a little bit about understanding, a little bit about the server itself, and you know, ways you can manage it, ways you can put it into your environment. In next week's show, we're going to talk a little bit more about this. I'm going to be digging around it and playing with it because it's new to me. It just was released recently. So it's new to me also, so I have to get more in touch with this R2 edition. I do know Windows Server 2012. I've played with it a lot, been in there, and I've created a lot of courses for that. So speaking about the courses, I do want to throw this out there to you, just in case you're interested. If you are one of those system admins out there, or if you're somebody in an office, you say, hey, I got to run the servers, and I don't know much about them. If you go to tipsfromtheserverroom.com, and at the very top, there's a link. It says online classes. If you click on that, you can actually sign up for my online classes. I have ESXi, okay, VMware, ESXi server. That is 5.1. You can learn about that. I have Windows Server 2008 R2 and Windows Server 2012. So they are there. You can hit the ground running. You know, that's what you need. You need the continuing education. That's why I built those courses. I don't believe every time you want to learn something new, you have to rush back out to a college to get re-educated on this stuff. This stuff changes too fast. If you spend all your money on a 4-year college, or even if you spend all your... I've been to weekend courses that cost me $1,000. And I don't know if you'll get as much benefit as what you get from one of my courses or not. A lot of people are in there taking them right now. They're self-paced, and there's no time limitation, so you sign up and take as long as you want. They're very inexpensive, but all they are is you watch a video, much like you're watching right now, or you're listening to this, but you would see me and see the video. And you see me demonstrate everything on screen using screencasting software. And then once you watch the short video, then you go and you take a quiz. It could be anywhere from 1 to 5 questions. When you finish the course, I send you a certificate of completion, and you can put that with your resume or hang it on your wall. Hey, whatever you want to do, but it definitely will help you out in the end. And I found that most employers, if you're working for someone, most employers will actually pay for those online courses. Once again, go to tipsfromtheserverroom.com and click on the online classes at the top. Okay, folks, so thank you very much for joining me here on the live show tonight. A lot of viewers tonight. I'm really happy everybody checked in here with me. At one point, we had about 25 people, so you might want to learn about servers. You must be listening or hearing me out there saying, hey, these shows are available, so come over and join me. If not, by all means, subscribe to my podcast on iTunes and watch the videos on YouTube when I do the video edition like these. And then you'll have that ready to go and you can watch it there. So thank you very much for joining me here. Take care, and I'll see you next week once again on Tips from the Server Room. You just listened to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.